May 19th, 2015, is a Watt from Pedro Show.
Ve stínu jeskyně jiskřičky poletují, položím mezi ně znavenou duši svojí. Jestli se ohřeje, jestli se ztratí, kdo ví, ozvěna slyší mě, ale nic neodpoví.
Watt from Pedro Show. Not in Pedro, though. I'm in... You might have to help me here. Savica?
Cirkvice, yeah.
Sarkitska. Czech Republic. And, yeah, we start off the show with John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk doing Tinkle Tankle. And then... People, I'm not the best with the Czech language, but I really have desire to learn, so if I fuck it up, please forgive.
You know people.
I know people. God, I wish they could all be like people. But Jeskine by Uzdesma Doma, which is my guest on this edition, Mirek Fadik.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, good.
Perfect.
I'm learning people. incredible career, 30 years with this band, but we're going to go all the way back. And actually, let me tell you, I got to meet him as I get to do a tour with him. I've been playing with him for the last 3 weeks. Tomorrow we're going to be in Krakow, Poland. No, Thursday. And we just come from Helsinki, Finland via it's Baltic States in Poland and a 29-hour journey. And I'm here in his pad. I just ate some great potato pancake filled with chickens.
And dumplings.
Dumplings. And before that, I had some
Spanish bird,
right? With a pickle and boiled egg inside a wrapped up piece of pork with more dumplings and gravies. And it's just incredible. Everybody, Veronica, your wife, and your kids, and just beautiful. But let's go way back. Can you recall your first musical experience?
Yeah, actually, this was kind of funny because I till my 15, I was never really educated in music, or I was never even listened to music too much. I was not very that way orientated. But my last holiday after basic school, which was in 1977, I was in former Yugoslavia and with my friend, and we met there some guy from Šibenik in Croatia, now Croatia, and he invited us to listen to some Yugoslavian band called Bielo Dugme, and we didn't pay ticket. We were also on some kind of hill, so we saw it from upper level. And for me, it was so strong experience. So it touched me so strongly that immediately in that camp, it was like a camp, children's camp. Immediately, I got idea together with my friend that we start a band. And even though we didn't know to play, and it's single, nothing, just zero, you know, both. But so we immediately said, okay, you will play drums, I will play organ. And we saw also first time in our lives magazine Bravo, which we never had opportunity to see it in our country. It was kind of censorship over that. Yugoslavia was also communist state, but kind of a little bit more liberal. I don't know how to explain. It was a little bit different. And so I saw Bravo, and in that Bravo was article about Deep Purple. And so and there was John Lord playing on keyboard in that band, and I just kind of felt in love to his name and even to his look, how he looked like. So I started to call myself Lord. Actually, it was first thing actually what I did in musical career. You know, that I didn't know to play, only get my nickname Lord, and my friend get nickname Mickey. I think Mickey. I don't know, for just like maybe that word, I don't know. And that was the beginning. And then we got back home. We start to talk about that with our other friends. And the first time they thought we are silly, but after all we talked to two guys out of these friends, turned to the same idea. So we start a band, and it was my first band. The name was Hut in English, like H-U-T. And
now, your town was not the biggest town, right?
Yes, it was in my hometown, which was called actually Dubi, which is not even Teplice. Teplice, I say always, Teplice is my born town, and for the band as well, you know, Teplice. But in fact, it was Dubi, which is like almost like a part of Teplice, but it's a separate little, very little tiny town. And so we start
with these two guys
together.
They knew a little more than you did.
And they didn't know also to play.
They didn't either.
And so we sort of start to meet each other and talk mostly about. Okay, we are banned, but nothing happened. And later,
no one has instruments.
No. Okay. Later on, it was, as I said, it was the ending of my basic school, and then I went to something you would call college, probably. Like it was a glass school, and on that glass school there was a kind of strong art basement, strong. A lot of these professors over there, they were formerly professors on universities, but in 1968 they were kicked off these places, and so they ended up in this secondary school, or not secondary, like college, small college, and glass school. And many of them were very nice painters, very nice sculptors, or glass makers, glass painters. This kind of art mood in their atmosphere was so strong to me, and so these two things I would call like two basic influences or basic kind of pressures on my soul for my decision to do music, to do art. Actually, I probably on the very beginning I wasn't really decided which art I will do, but Bielo Dugme turned me to music. And so I start to learn music. I start to study a little bit, like only myself, like self-made. And the other guys in band, one of them he also start to practice a little bit on some instrument. And but the other two guys they just like, well, you know, it was like a joke or some game or something, so disappear later on. Even the band disappear because I moved to other town because of school, and so on and so on. And then was 1979 happening, and that I was in Prague on something called Prague Jazz Days, and it was organized by an organization called Jazz Section. But it was nothing to do with jazz, actually. It was kind of like a cover name for organization who organized avant-garde, alternative, also jazz a little bit, but also rock or punk rock, actually first punk rock bands bringing here and so on. So they did some kind of festival covered with the name jazz, because jazz was kind of officially respected, not was also some troubles with it, but not too big. But rock or punk rock or whatever, that was just almost like a zero, you know. And so I was in that festival, and I saw first in my life Art Bears with Chris Cutler and Fred Friss and Dagmar Krauses singing. I saw my the same age as me, some bands, some first Czech punk bands. Actually, in fact, they were not, they were punk only by two or three songs, but the rest of the repertoire was something different that I discovered later. But I just get these punk songs and I was immediately influenced by that. I also listened to a lot of avant-garde music on that festival. And for me, it was like a big satori or something, like open, yeah. open eyes, open, open soul, open mind to myself, to discover that not only hard rock or whatever this kind of thing exists, but also some very avant-garde music or very new music as yeah. punk was in that moment. And so all these things kind of pushed me again, you know, and turned me into this kind of style, let's call it, you know.
Did you have a keyboard at this point?
And I had actually my grandfather. I talked today about, with you about him. He was in 72 when he started to paint, and he painted pretty well, I think, like nothing very avant-garde, but nice. And he was very nice to me, and he when he discovers that I decided to do music, he bought me organ, Czech one. It was called Phoenix. It was really funny sound, like accordion a little bit, but even worse, like some very funny sound, you know. But maybe a little bit like that sound on Doors songs, you know, this kind of so I start to learn that, but later on start to learn on guitar as well, a little bit, you know, and on Spanish guitar, acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And then when I then some band, because I had organ, some bands in Teplice start to walk around me and try to get me to the band, because it was really rare to have organ. I was valuable person by the organ, not as a player, but just to having organ. Yes, yes. And so I was so then I joined one band which was called Electron, and it was really kind of very local band, playing cover songs of Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, I don't know, Nazareth, I don't know, whatever, Sweet maybe also, Fox on the Run, or I don't remember all these, Black Sabbath maybe also we played, or I don't know, something like that, Beatles. And I played organ in that band. And later, then I was on the jazz days, and I came back and I was completely turned into different kind of music.
Right, right.
And but the other guys in the band were not like that, so we split. And I found in that moment something what I call my real first band, yeah. And that was called FBB. FBB means, these three letters means Force Price Band, which is kind of difficult to translate, but in our country there were four levels of restaurants or pubs where you can go.
Yeah.
The first class pub was like really simple for people in Thai, you know, very very rich people. The second was something less, a little bit. The third one was also less, and the fourth one was a real pop, like something what I went to, and yeah, I was in contact almost every day with. And so we call ourselves, and but the word class could be translated in Czech skupina. It's also band.
Okay.
It's a homonym. It's the same word for two different things.
Sure.
So I made the joke kind of that we are forced class band, right. You know, like. But it means, in fact, it was written in every this pub, like forced class pub, you know,
yeah.
and as forced class band. But it was the same. So FPB is Force Price Band.
Yeah, we would call it a pun.
Yeah.
Did Electron, the guys you mm-hmm. played with when captured you, did they do gigs?
Yeah, we played a lot.
What were the gigs
like? But only local, only in Teplice. And it was actually every Sunday, every Saturday, maybe 1.5 years. So I had...
Where?
In Teplice.
Yeah, but where?
Which place? It was sort of like a small culture house.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if there was a club scene. Not at all.
It was, as I told you, almost like forbidden scene, and but this was a little bit tolerated because it was something for dancing. Like now they would call it probably discotheque, but not okay. No disco, but right, live right. Music, but something like that. You know, almost like just covering songs. You know, in actually very funny thing in. Fake English.
Really?
It was very funny. Yeah.
We
call it Faswahili English. It was like, if you want, I can sing for you like, all down the sound, but turn it down, but word again. Like that, you know. And it sounded like English, but nothing, even one word is zero, you know, zero meaning. So we were covering like Deep Purple, for example, with this kind of Swahili English, you know.
But you can play once a week now. When you make your fourth class band, yes. Can that do the same thing?
No. Okay. Immediately, I continued a little bit in that tradition to do some cover songs because for me it was kind of, you know, I was 18, you know, almost no knowledge of playing, and you know, small experience only. So for me to cover songs, but in this case, which I really liked, and I liked that style, this punk scene and yeah. Avant-garde scene. So to cover these songs, for me, it was kind of like a school.
Sure.
How to go inside the arrangements and how
sure.
how it works together, how drums work with bass and how bass with guitar and vocal and all these things. So for me it was like very very nice school, and but also because we never got any like vinyl in like an object, you know. I never saw any vinyl of, I don't know, Damned or Sex Pistols or something like that. I only listened to tapes and maybe some fourth or fifth copy or something like that sound. And so I only listened to it on this tape recorder, or some of these songs I only heard once on some party. So someone play it and I just listened once, and then I remember maybe just refrain, so I created my own verses, you know, or opposite way, you know. So it was not very strict cover.
it was sort of
like
loose
influence or whatever. Kind of something. We didn't make any troubles with that, you know. It was just okay, let's play that, and so I start to do that. That was one part. But immediately, and especially after that experience on Prague Jazz Days, where I saw some Czech bands playing their own music, their own songs, it was for me. Maybe now it sounds silly, you know, but I just never get myself that idea to write my own song, you know, until that moment. You know,
right.
It's like it was just nonsense for me. But since then, I start to think about that, and I start to write songs. I started to write lyrics. I started to write poetry as well, and so I was more and more deep in art and in reading books. Immediately, of course, you know, all possible poetry or some novels or some plays, you know, whatever philosophic literature and old Rome literature, and I was just like a foam, you know, like sucking everything, you know, came to me. Like was like really in few years only, you know. And so FPB played, let's say, half of songs were covers.
Yeah.
Or something so-called covers,
interpretations,
and half of it were our own songs, first original stuff. Yes, and many of these covers had Czech lyrics because we never had original lyrics. I never had any cover or something. So I only knew that Swahili. So we either did it in Swahili or in Czech. Like I wrote
Swahili.
Swahili English, so called, you know.
The sound.
Yeah.
And so some music.
Jak se vlastně počítá? Ty na staních, ty vždycky na staních, já na psovi. Jak se vlastně počítá? Ty na psovi, ty vždycky na psovi, já na saních. Jak se vlastně počítá, ty na vlnách, ty vždycky na vlnách, já ve větru. Jak se vlastně počítá, ty ve větru, ty vždycky ve větru, já na vlnách. Jak se vlastně počítá, ty kapka já, ty vždycky kapka já zemkoty. Takhle asi počítá, tak počítá, tak asi počítá, jen málo kdo. Možná se to počítá, vy na kruzích, vy vždycky na kruzích, my na bradlech.
Round trip to North Korea.
Thank you. down here in the basement. We make punk rock down here in the basement. It's all too
thank you.
Malokdo by Jose Madoma, and then Road Trip to North Korea by G.G. Ban, The Dream by the OCs, number 53 song by Solanke, Hiroshima B by Round Out, that's got Brother Steve McKay on the sax, and Bernays Propaganda with Levy Aguirre, and Road Horse number 9 by the Deeper D's. Now, we're playing together, this band's 30 years now.
Usmerma, yes. Yeah. FPB, well, we talked
now,
about this 5 years before.
Yeah, now how does that happen?
FPB played in between 1980 to 1985, or 86 maybe. And we had, maybe, I don't know if it's interesting, but the funny thing about FPB was that in 1980, punk was not known at all in our country, and of course also not by these communists, by the censorship or police. They were very stuck into hippie people, or rock, you know, hard rock or metal, or not metal, hard rock in that time. So this long hair, you know, and this kind of hippie design and all that stuff. So when we started in 1980, you know, to come with short hair and with completely different design, on the beginning it was almost like a no problem, because we were not long hair, so it was kind of okay, you know. We continued. FPB played first maybe year or half year every single Saturday again, you know, in the same place as Electron, and also some shows in Prague, and so we were kind of frequent playing, you know, I mean, relatively to situation in our country.
Sure.
So we had maybe 20 shows or something a year, which was a lot, you know, in that time. But after 1 year, immediately they discovered, oh, this is also our enemy. It's not only hippie, but also these guys. So immediately censorship was just starting really heavily to push into the scene. And so we had maybe one or two shows a year or something, not more. And even these two were kind of very illegal, so we were always afraid we watched always the door when it will be open and police will come in or something. And so it was kind of very strange time. But FPB start to really to practice really to heavily to play to compose their own music and so on and so on. So they start to be known all over the country, even though there were so few concerts in the country. Of course, not abroad. Not only one single concert was abroad in Poland in 1984, I think. We practiced a lot, and we finally got some knowledge of how to play, and we did our songs, and we start to be kind of influence for other bands, for younger bands, you know, coming in late 80s then. And so FPB in 1985 became to be kind of very famous band in Czechoslovakia in that time. But of course, very famous means famous, but still not possibility to right. play officially or something. Right. And then we had some troubles in a band. We were three players and one manager. And that manager was really like that Malcolm for Sex Pistols, kind of very, difficult person, call it polite way. And the drummer was kind of with him in the thoughts, and I was with the guitarist on the other. So band kind of split into two parts by way of thinking and so on. And at the same time, in 1985, a new band, Usmeruma, they exist only 3-4 months or something, and they never played officially. It was only a band from Cellar, you know.
Where did they come from? What town?
From Teplice, town, yeah. They were three or four years younger, which in that age it means
big time.
New generation. Yes. And FPB for them was like a hero band, like, you know what I mean? Like very very big influence and also very big respect, you know, to them. But what happened that they asked me in some pub somewhere if I can sing with them as a guest, and I said, well, I can. And also they asked me to write some lyrics for them. I said, I can, but I have one condition, that you will tell me exactly what should I do, and I will not put any of my energy or whatever into the bands because of my ideas or whatever, because my major band is FPB, and I have enough work and enough opportunities to feed them with my ideas, which now sounds kind of absurd after 30 years being in Schmidtman, writing almost all repertoire for them, you know. But I had that condition, but then I went for first rehearsal, and there were 7 people actually in the band in the time.
Big band.
And so I went to the rehearsal, and they didn't really rehearse. It was big chaos.
Okay.
Talking only, you know, drinking, you know, having whatever stories. And I said, well, I have no time for that.
At the end of the first rehearsal.
Yeah.
Everybody, May 19th, 2015 edition of the Watt Pedro Show. First hour done with Merrick and his incredible journey. Please hold tight for hour 2. May 19th, 2015, it's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show. Watt for Pete Russo, Husamadoma doing Ukalabavka pro Aneshku, which means?
Lullaby for Aneshka.
Okay. Lullaby.
That's my daughter. You might
have. That's right. You know, I asked you that yesterday in a van. That's how good my memory is. I'm stupid. Then we had the scene between Go Team, Jamie Lito, Dunai.
Yes, Dunai, that was a band from the 80s. Originally, they played together with Iva Bitova, which maybe many people, even in San Pedro, knows, because she's a very world-known person, violinist and singer and composer for Kronos Quartet, for example. Right. She wrote some music. So she played sang with them and played violin. And then when she moved, the group continued to play with a singer whose name was Jiří Kolšovský. And I actually like that period the most. And this CD, Dudlai, is from that period. And they were, I have several now, something I call brother bands, like all over the world. So Dunai was definitely one of the first our brother bands. Like we played a lot together. We loved each other, and I still respect their music very much. For me, one of the best Czech bands ever. Actually,
do you know N213's group Vision? That's a name. I think they're out of Vancouver. Green Tile Floors live on the radio. Nervous Gender. That was one of my favorite bands out of the Hollywood scene. And finally, LP Side B, 2014. Le Olier, this is, I got turned on by our tour boss, Macario. This cat, young man, plays acoustic guitar. He don't think songs should have titles? Uh-huh. A record should have titles? Yeah, so Side B of a record he put out in 2014. That's all I know about. So, you go to practice with these guys and they ain't got together and you've been around and you've been...
Yeah. I just had feelings that it doesn't make any sense, you know, especially with my experience with FPB, where everything was kind of strict and accurate and more sophisticated, you know. So I escaped. I went out and I said, it doesn't make sense. But 2 weeks later, two guys from Usmeroma band, sax player and drummer, out of G7, they came to visit me and to my house, and they said, well, we agree that this was bullshit, you know, like what we did, but we too want to do it good way. And we ask you if you can still sing for us and write some lyrics for us and teach us how to practice or something.
This is only two of the guys.
Two guys only.
So five of them.
And I said, well, but what's the band? What's the rest of the band? It's like, well, it doesn't matter because we would like to do that way. And I said, like, well, but I don't want to destroy your band, you know, like it's you're just on the beginning, so maybe we'll find a way. No, we want to. Anyway, it was this kind of speech. So I said, well, we can try, you know. And so I came again to the rehearsal room, but there were all seven people there, and I started to talk. Okay, I was asked, you know, to teach here a little bit, so let's start with notes, actually, with reading basically just very basic reading notes.
Yeah.
And let's start with some kind of little bit discipline, you know, on like, okay, it doesn't make sense to play whole song if you for example don't know only refrain, for example. Sure. So let's play that refrain 100 times all over until we know it, and then we can play whole song. It doesn't make sense to play 4 minutes or 5 minutes of music if the problem is only a small piece.
Sure.
You know? And it's kind of obvious. It's obvious for everybody who knows already that.
Sure.
But if you don't know that, if you have no experience, it's something new for you, maybe, or I don't know. It's just, so I start to talk like that, and these five people quit. So I said, well, I'm sorry, I destroyed your band. I didn't want to, but
right
I
there,
did.
Right there, that practice.
And one day, yeah. And But these two guys said that, well, it doesn't matter. We didn't agree with them anyway, you know. So let's think about the future of the band. And I felt kind of guilty for that. You know? Yeah. So I said, well, okay, maybe besides singing, I can also play bass guitar. And which I played in FPB also sometimes, you know.
Okay.
Not all the time, but some period also.
Did you feel a connection between the left hand of the organ and the bass guitar?
Also, yes, I did. Okay. Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah. Also, I from the very beginning, I think you still can hear it in Usmedoma now. I still feel bass guitar as a melodic instrument, not only a rhythmical basement or something. Yeah, yeah. I love. It's more like polyphonic. My way of thinking is more polyphonic, like Bach. Like this, each instrument has its own melody, and these three, four, five melodies together creates arrangement, creates rhythm, creates whatever scale. You know, sure. all the stuff is coming from four separate, independent ways. You know, or whatever. Let's call it speeches.
Yeah, speeches. To blend, to make
So,
one
so bass guitar for me was, of course, you know, at the very beginning it was like, like that, you know. But later on, I felt it. I really like it as maybe my favorite instrument.
Did you play Czech bass?
Now. Sorry.
Did you play Czech bass?
Czech bass, yes, yeah.
It was, what was that like?
Yolana, I think. It was very.
Yolana.
It was very funny. Very funny guitar, but only
one. There was a guy in the Hamburg gig on the boat.
Only one.
He said he had a Czech bass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, in the early 60s, they were probably very nice and very good guitars in Czech industry. You know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I also heard, I'm not very educated in, or I have not so big knowledge in this part of history of guitars and instruments, but I heard that even these guys like as Gibson or Marshall, you know, or these, they kind of collaborated with some Czech guys on some parts of,
wow.
I don't know, so it was, okay. It was kind of respectful industry in some decent moment. I don't know exactly, let's say it's 59 to 63 or something. I don't know, it's not verified, you know.
But you got one that's passed,
I guess, you know,
this point.
But after
the Yolanda, she's passed
out. After 68, everything was just, you know, down. Okay.
So you guys are a trio then. You're on bass, there's a drummer.
Drummer and guitarist is Romek Hanslik, who is now our manager, actually. You will meet him in Acropolis, actually, because he is the organizer of Acropolis. And so that was trio, actually, of FPB, I'm talking now. But then when this situation happened in Usmedoma, there was sax player only and drummer.
Okay.
So I took guitar, bass guitar.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we need guitar as well. Like a partner of sax, like a solo guitarist, you know, someone who plays melodies on guitar. Making a sparring partner, let's call it. And
in your quartet.
So I asked this guitarist from FPB if he can join the band as well. And he was also in kind of a bad mood with the rest of FPB as me. So he said, okay, he agreed on that. So we two left FPB and joined Usmedoma. Okay. But about almost 1 year, it was kind of coexistence. So FPB still play and Usmedoma start to practice in that. So me and the guitarist, we almost 1 year we played in both bands.
So it's an overlap.
Parallel. So it was kind of like one was kind of disappearing and the second one was growing.
Becoming.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the first gig you did with these guys?
Yes. Actually, you mentioned we have 30 years anniversary this year, and so first gig was 1985. Of Usmedoma, and I didn't play in that gig. Actually, that was the only one without me, because it was the original lineup, the seven people. And that was the happening was in Prague, where that manager, let's call him Malcolm, fake Malcolm.
Wannabe.
He was he made kind of, it was kind of common thing actually to do over some game like mouse with cat with police. So he rented a boat on in Prague, on Vltava.
Yeah.
And it was like a ferry boat, like a boat which had some kind of exact schedule, timetable.
Right.
And so he bought all tickets. You know, he invest money, like just he bought all full, like it was sold out, the but whole yeah. boat. And so all people can go in, you know, they paid him back, you know, these sure. tickets. And three bands were playing there on the boat. And he was counting on that moment that when the band is on boat, so the police can take you, but after the show, not during the show, because sure, boat, see, you can't really, river. You know, go in. So, but what happened was that police discovered that sooner than the boat was departing, and they took to jail maybe 30% of people standing in the port, including me actually, and including at least one person from each band. So none of bands were playable.
Yeah, because they're missing. Okay.
So. But the boat has to go because it was like a timetable thing, sure. you know, so boat departure. And we were in jail, but it was jail only for a few hours, and there was some questioning and each person and so on and so on. And after, I don't know exactly, like, let's say 2 hours, they let us go out. And we catch, because the boat has... it was like a line from one spot to some other spot, you know, and then it was waiting 1.5 hour or something, and then it goes back.
Sure.
So we were catching the boat by tram along the shore, you know, and we found it in the second port. It was still there, and most of these people were very drunk because yeah, they were sad, you know, no band and so on. But then when they saw us, you know, and immediately we start to play. In that port actually, and but the major group in that moment was FPB.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
So I played with FPB there. And the second band was Plexus, which is one of Czech first punk bands. And they still play actually. They are.
Wow.
I would call them now the best or the real one, like authentic punk band, okay. like Czech authentic classic. Punk band or something, and Usme Doma, okay. the third band. That was the first show of Usme Doma ever, actually. And so the whole show happened because police didn't expect we will play. They didn't think it's impossible, but we did, you know, in port. And then we joined the boat, and the boat went back to the original port.
Yeah.
And police finally discovered we did it, so they were very angry. Okay. So maybe, I don't know, 300 policemen were standing in the port and waiting for us with dogs. You know, so it was a really strange scene. But what happened was kind of like a dream, like a miracle, that the boat stopped the engine and was night already. And very silently, because everybody shut the mouth, you know, immediately when we saw this big amount of police, and the boat very slowly, silently hit the shore and stopped, you know. Then the captain opened the door, the gate, and there was like a I don't know how to like two lines of police from really the shore. And so each person has to go through that
right.
line, you know, like from both sides you have policeman and dog. And so
corridor.
We were, and yeah, corridor, yeah. And so we were really expecting now will be some kind
right.
of beating or whatever like that. But everything was very silent. None person just said single word. And we went through that corridor. We climbed the stairs up to on the top. There is a street where with tram tracks and trams are going there.
Yeah.
And we joined the tram and we disappear and nothing happened.
Oh, wow.
But it was really like surreal. Like very silent, surreal scene. You know, I wish one day I will have enough money to reconstruct that scene because it would be just like amazing picture. You know. Anyway, that was the first show.
And after that, you start playing with him.
Yes.
And the guitar man.
Yes, as a bass guitar.
You guys start putting together the first songs.
Yes. And immediately, they had six songs written already. I rearranged them, and I wrote lyrics for them. And since then, Usmerova never had a cover song. We always played our own songs, except of some special opportunities, as, for example, right now, when one of our very friendly band, Psi Vojaci, the leader, died two years ago.
So,
we did one song to his honor, but we don't play it on stage usually, but we recorded it, and it will be some CD tribute, and we will play it live on his 50th birthday party or something like that. So these kind of special things, we did several cover songs, but never on our regular repertoire.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Since then, we are, like, let's say, 100% authors.
Now, FBB, did they ever go in the studio?
It did, but after Revolution, like a dead band. You know what I mean? Like
only
we just met in studio, reunited only for recording.
So your first recording then was with these guys.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that like? Because you'd never recorded before.
No,
right?
No. It was very. You're talking about Usmerova.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was very funny. It was actually in 1988, which was 1 year before Revolution. And that was thanks to many different circumstances, like Gorbachev and whatever, these kind of melting a little bit the crucial atmosphere. And there were some people who tried to bring that new wave. They call it new wave, nothing to do with the style, but like new wave of bands or whatever. They tried to bring it onto official scene, which was very difficult for them and mostly not successful. But one of these tries was some publishing house called Pantone. They usually did. They were kind of specialized for classical music, and but there were some guys. They say, okay, let's do some small edition of something special. And so they call it Rock Debit, the edition. So they ask us for three songs, making like small vinyl, SP
single,
and so we chose three songs, but. Because we had really no experience to record, we were in hands of these guys in studio, and they were mostly focused into pop or this kind of fucking whatever
square
stuff,
judge.
And you know, especially it's until now it's very hilarious to listen to it, some of it, because besides other two, we play one song which we still play as the encore until now. It's called Yes or.
Yo
Nebo Nebo, and it's very kind of straight punk song. You know, 208 tempo and so on. And they told us, these guys in studio, that it is necessary to use drum machine instead of live drums. And we were, you know, like, first experience of it, like okay,
so
maybe they're right. We don't know, you know. It sounds,
what the drummer said.
It sounds strange, you know. But it was like, well,
what did your drummer
maybe
say?
Maybe he was upset, of course, you know. But at the same time, we just didn't know if it's true or not, so we couldn't verify anyhow, you know. So
doing.
So we agreed on that, and if you listen to it now. It's so funny because there's these breaks. It sounds like from the gun machine, like
don't go
because it's only
so
one.
You didn't play at all. It's only drum machine.
Yeah, in that vinyl. On that vinyl, it's only.
But he just sat it out.
Yes, yes.
He must have been really pissed.
It was really funny. Anyway, it was our first experience, and we were very happy at the same time, like because we never even dreamed that there would be one day possible to have recording or whatever. It was something from different world.
World,
you know, like,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
So for us it was great experience anyway, even with this drum machine. You know. And right after Revolution in 1990,
yeah,
we did two vinyls or two yeah. LPs in 1 year.
Wow.
Because it was all repertoire we played last 5 years, you know.
Sure.
So it was kind of like paying debt, you know, like or
sure.
something. So it was immediately recorded.
And were you more in charge of the production?
And it was we were the first one was still kind of funny, but with light drums.
Okay.
And also in studio, because the only owners of studios
yeah.
in that time were pop singers.
Yeah, yeah.
Or but very shitty pop singers,
yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
making a lot of money even in communist system, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we went there, and even the first vinyl is kind of funny, but much better than the single. And the second one, we hired a producer,
yeah,
who was a singer of kind of very popular and very good band, like them, Czech band, CK Vocal, and he helped us a lot, you know, in to take focus to tuning and rhythm accuracy and even the sound, you know, and all that stuff. The other thing was that we were a little too like a drunk. Out of possibilities of studio,
yeah.
So we used maybe 17 instruments in that, you know what I mean, like we played it live, you know, all these songs, but,
sure.
but we in studio like in pastry, you know, like, okay, let's put there this, so we put there like 17 different instruments, including some middle age instruments,
yeah,
you know?
Of course,
like it's really like it's from 14th century, you know, some funny Czech
stuff that you never do.
Of course, you know, so it's also kind of funny, so let's
yeah,
call
we had this saying mm-hmm. Why does a dog lick his balls?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
he can.
Yeah. Yes,
so you're
yeah,
in
yes,
the studio.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So let's call the very first, and I still feel it like there's the very first regular album for
it's
us.
The third try.
Was the third one
yeah.
called Hollywood. And it was from two reasons.
Why Hollywood? Yeah.
I will tell you about two reasons why I call it a real album. One, that we recorded repertoire which was present repertoire in the time,
not
paying debt, you know. The second was that we were already kind of experienced by recording, by
gigs.
All these mistakes we did, you know,
yeah.
and also by traveling. In 1993, when we recorded this Hollywood album,
yeah.
We were after first U.S. tour. We had a lot of touring all over Europe, you know,
yeah.
and so on. So it was a completely different situation in our
yeah.
minds, in our knowledge, in our experience, and all this stuff. So Hollywood is finally, I would call it a regular album, you know. And since then, we try to develop it somehow.
sure. But why'd you call it Hollywood?
Hollywood, it's a song. It's a title song,
okay.
Hollywood. And the song is one of few we sing partly in English. In the beginning is in English, but not because we want to sing in English, as many foreign bands, you know,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, right.
But it was part of idea, actually. How my idea was like make kind of it's not very parody, but something like parody,
yeah,
to Hollywood sweet. Whatever, sunset, you know, the lovers
oh, yeah,
going
okay.
to sunset, you know, some it's kind of
satire.
Sugar, over sugar,
schmaltz,
yeah, something, you know. And but at the same time, I had that's one point of view, and of course, that's probably very common in between all punk
sure.
people, but punkers, you know, who sing that way, to laugh to that and,
yeah.
and to hate it, you know. But at the same time, I had some kind of tolerance for why this happens in Hollywood, why it is so popular,
yeah.
why it's not only that it's a propaganda and bullshit,
conspiracy.
Whatever, yeah, conspiracy or just promotion or
yeah.
whatever money,
big
and
money.
It is of course big part of it, you know. But at the same time,
striking a chord,
yeah,
there's a
yeah,
resonance.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's. There has to be something what Because, you know, you can't really do it for so many millions of people. There must be something what these people like on it.
That's what I'm saying. It strikes a chord. There's something that resonates.
So that means, so I try really to think deeply about what it is. And I was just thinking that people just like fairy tales. They like nice ends.
Yeah.
Some hope or whatever, something like that, you know. And to laugh to that point is not very smart, you know. Like it's, you can laugh to whatever that bullshit, what is definitely a big part of it.
Attention.
But some small part of it, it's some kind of human knowledge or knowledge about human beings that they just hope, and not all people are intellectuals or whatever, educated, so they have hard lives and they just hope for something better. And if they don't have it, they at least want to see it on the cinema, or they want to hear it in music somehow, and they don't want to be confronted with some pain or with some hope, with some doubts, you know, and which, of course, it's a major thing of artists, you know, like to doubts, you know. But these many of people, they just don't want to be confronted with that. They want to relax, they want to make fun, you know, they want to whatever, date girls, and that's all, you know, get drunk and.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's something's nice. It's definitely nothing to say, okay, that's okay and that's very nice. But at the same time, I just in that time I try to have some little tolerance into it. So the song, title song Hollywood, is divided into two parts. One is kind of parody of this "I love you, my baby, my sweet cherie." The voice is like a, you know, some over sweet. And but later on, I do the same line, but with "I love you, my." It's like really like full of emotion, you know, like singing, and but still melody.
Yeah.
And then the third circle. It's going to crash, you know, and it's only the bass is going to, it's only one tone, monotonic, and I only scream in it. I love you, my baby, my sweet. It's same words, but in completely different feelings, and then the whole thing is just melting into, and then there is a break, and then it's the first half of song, and the second half of song is completely like a different song, and it has immediately Czech words in it after all, and it talks about a big pile or heap of everything. Like, but I want to say it some simple way, but it's more difficult. But let's call it like some heap of everything. That means like incoming information. Some of them are good, but some of them are fake. Some of them, you know, relationships, emotions, your experiences, whatever you can imagine. You know, all these things are going in one moment onto you, and it's a big, it's like a big pile of garbage or something, and it's kind of like a going onto you, like a wave, you know, like if it's liquid, you know,
kind almost bury
like,
you?
Yeah, and you start to run, you know, like to try to escape from that, but it's just in one moment it's like almost like everywhere, and you're. It's up to your feet, your hair, and to your mouth, and then you know, and
you drown it.
Yeah, you drown it. And then after all that, that's like a circle. The song is like a circle. Then on the very end of the song, but with very kind of no hope, or just very kind of like
despair.
Again, these two lovers appear, and it's like again like. No, and they again like dance, and then there is like a sunset, and these two lovers go there, but they don't on the very beginning. They go like very like very full of emotion.
Yeah.
On the very end of song, they do exactly the same thing, but kind of like going to execute
resigned.
So it's like a circle of that, and the whole song is kind of strange and difficult way to some thoughts about Hollywood, like a symbol of factory of joy, mm-hmm. but not only the factory, but someone has to watch it, someone has right. to buy it, someone has to like it. And so about all these things as like, I don't know, maybe it's very difficult for me to explain all these things. That's why I'm singing. not to explain it. So that's Hollywood, you know, okay. That's the title song. And that was a kind of like a major idea of the whole album as well. So we called it album Hollywood, right. after all.
Now, this is one version of the band.
Yeah.
People out there. There's been five
people
versions
of this album.
No, of the band.
Band. Well, I wouldn't call it versions, but people come and go out. So it was. Now I am alone from the very beginning.
Right.
But there were always somebody from previous time, so it was like a.
You know the number?
26, maybe.
20.
Yeah, I think so.
Sometimes a few people went at.
Sometimes two or three people left.
Because that's why I would say maybe it was a kind of a different version of the band, that many left.
Yes, yeah. And so, yeah, there were. I would call maybe there were maybe three major lineups, you know, like more most important, let's say.
Right.
But which doesn't say that the other people were not important.
No, but they were maybe only one gig.
Yeah, for example, or one year or something.
Okay.
But no recording or whatever. But the major part was definitely between 93 and 2000.
Seven years you kept the core.
Yeah, so it was. Hollywood album, Fairy Tales, and Years. These three albums definitely was one very strong period. And the first, that was let's say second period, and the first most important maybe. And the first one was very beginning. These four people I mentioned.
Sure.
It was kind of like creating that style. That that was a major work for the first. Period people to discover, to search, you know, for the language, you know, of music,
to find the voice of the band.
Yes, exactly. So it was big work, even though there were no recordings of that, not even single one, and
not even practice tapes or anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rare. Maybe there's actually I forgot to finish this story with a boat.
Yeah.
This year in January.
Yeah.
Miracle happened that some people sent me three songs from that boat.
That were recorded.
Recorded.
From that
of course, very bad recording.
But like you were FPB.
I was FPB. Yeah. But of Usmeroma, three songs. Survived
but
somehow.
Seven other people.
So we decided as like one of celebrations this year to release a small vinyl with these three songs with special cover from Martin Velišek called Boat or Steamboat.
Boat.
Yeah, because it was a steamboat. So it will be released this year. These three songs like a historical document, you know.
And you had never heard this.
I never heard it. No, it was
now,
very
was
new.
Now, what did it feel like to
it,
hear?
It's strange.
Did the time come back?
Yes, it did. It was really like very, of course, like bad playing, you know, but the spirit and energy was there. You know, I would feel like it was very. Intensive, and I was very surprised. Actually, it was it has been of course a little bit mastered now and whatever, but basic feeling is perfect.
From a cassette, you think?
Yeah, somebody
had a cassette machine.
Yes. And he did it for some really bad microphone.
Yeah, right.
Inside, but anyway, it survived, even including some photos.
Okay.
From there, so it will be a nice addition, I think. So so that was the first period. Then the second one, as I mentioned, was 93 to 2000, these three albums, and that lineup did a lot of work in creating the sound on recordings, and also the major work in traveling, because with that lineup we did mostly actually US, and we played more than 700 shows in US, you know, during these 6 years or something, you know. So it was almost every year 100 shows, you know.
Wow.
Or something like that, 60 to 100, you know. So it was really big work also, you know, like hard working,
yeah,
traveling, you know. And then the third one I would call present lineup, which I feel also very, very strong and very in good condition.
Yeah.
And we did, except of drummer, we did the last album, Caves, Jeskyně. Mm-hmm. And I still like that album the most for now, but of course it's difficult to say, you know, if you have kids, you like all of them, but this one is just the most fresh for me, and these songs for me are still very melodic and very, very kind of, I still like them, you know.
Right.
I like all the others, but this one I like the most, and so we play them now mostly. And hopefully next year we can do a new album, which I have already idea in my head about the theme. And
yeah, we're going to get to it. I'm going to ask you about the future.
Yeah.
But we're at the end of the second hour, May 19, 2015 edition of Waff Peter. So hold tight for hour three. May 19, 2015. It's the third hour of the Waff from Peter show.
Thank you. we've all seen what happens in the bedroom. And now, I'm going to open it up for questions. Okay. Now we all seem to be on the same page. And you with the meaty and social media. I heard that your cheese has the blues. Your sexuality had a brand new muse. The artist's part on the left I disabuse. Don't get confused. You look confused. But all of these West Side Falls with frosty some of us have Justin Bieber fever, and some of us are just sick. I heard that your cheese has the blues. Your sexuality has a brand new muse. The artist's part on the left I disabuse. Don't get confused. It's just a ruse. You look confused. It's no use.
Van Gogh hanging on the wall. Crazy as the bedbug, but stuff is beautiful. Yes, stuff is beautiful. Orange trees burning in the sun. In the south of France, a New England. Vincent Van Gogh brought it all to light. Couldn't beat the demons, but he put up a good fight. Yeah, he put up a good fight. I feel so sad, I cannot lie. Vincent, help me, tell me why. I sit in this brothel, wearing a frown. Another day in paradise, and I feel so dragged down. Yeah, I feel so dragged down. Vincent Van Gogh, I'm no fun. Can I join you at the sanatorium? Let it stop him though. He didn't waste his time. No, he didn't waste his time.
We'll be right back.
from Pedro show. Start off third hour with Ukrit, which means where you hide yourself. Jamais Doma. Social media claymation after that. Busy Bass by the Father Figures. Vincent van Gogh from the Peasants. Too Numb to Step. Can Hits. I met that cat in this band in Temporary. So mm-hmm. Finnish band. Love Without Lives. Lies. Something live from Comet Gain. And then a band we're going to play with in Krakow Thursday. They're called Crossfire Fucking Hurricane. And like-minded fools. I didn't fuck up. He wrote like twice, okay? Okay, we're back to the story. We're talking about the future with this current lineup. We're talking Peppa. We're talking Adam. Mm-hmm. Talking Yarda and yourself. And you got a batch of songs for them. Are we hearing those right now, some of them, at the gigs?
Of what? Of a new?
What's going to be in the future? No.
No.
Yeah, why don't you get into, because your way of composing is interesting, because these cats don't live in the same town. Sort of like the Stooges.
Yes. We actually, that's maybe something a little bit specific about this band, that since the very beginning, we never really improvised. And all music was written. The system of practicing and writing songs was more similar to classical music.
Yeah.
For example, like you have like some composer who writes all
Leech
partitures, yeah. Just every single triangle or whatever, you know, there, and then some conductor with orchestra is practicing it and playing it and interpreting it. So very similar way we do the same thing. So I compose most of now 100%, but in previous time, let's say 70% or 80% of music.
Yeah.
And I write every single symbol, every single tone, bass guitar, trumpet, just everything. So all solos, you know, just everything. And then we practice it.
Sure.
And nowadays we do it even more sophisticated. We collaborate with computer.
Yeah.
That I write it in MIDI versions.
Sure.
And people just practice at home with the MIDI version up to the moment when they know it finally.
Yeah.
In a good way. And then we have 1 or 2 days only in the rehearsal room, and then we practice it and then we play it, you know. So that's how it works.
So is this batch for the next album already MIDI-ized?
Yes. Okay. It is all written already, and each album was like that, you know, in even before. But what we work now on, and what we did actually on this tour, which I didn't like to do, but there was no chance to do it other way, because yeah. We have no time. We are in time pressure now a little bit. That we decided to do for 30th anniversary some kind of like a best of show, a best of CD, let's call it. But
retrospective,
like let's say in 30 years best 10 songs.
Yeah.
And we let people vote for that, actually, audience, like 3 months, and they voted for 11. It ended up on 11 songs.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, well, it doesn't make sense just to take all these 11 recordings and make a CD. You know, it's a good opportunity to watch these songs maybe from different perspective.
Yeah.
And so I start to work on remakes of our own, of my own songs.
Yeah.
And but can some of them are really radical remakes. You know,
okay, that's
means okay. It's almost like a new song.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And that's exactly what I'm working on now. That I'm writing these scores, and these guys try to learn it, and we will record it actually in the end of June. So we have not so much time to finish it, and I, being really clear, there are 11 songs, and I have only 4 done by now. So I have to write 7 more songs, write, then we have to practice them, and then we go to record them. And I, for all these things, we have only 1 month left, but including 2 weeks of still touring, you know.
Sure.
So it's kind of, for me, it's kind of a very difficult time now.
Can we say you got your work cut out for
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's okay. Let's hear some more.
Anyway.
Music.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition here in the Czech Republic. Bilahu Usime Doma, that's Blind Man's Cane, and so I got it from Two Backs. They're Italians,
Oh, Five Reasons, Hobo Cabo, that's they are too. That's got Tel Andrea. Venus and Zaire, that's Tel Stay. The guys I do a Sonia de Marinaya with. Cry Baby Cry, the Banditos from Chicago. He ain't right. Tom Conjolier, he lives in Pedro. And finally, For All You Do, Bonrath. I can't remember where he lives. But somebody wanted to ask you advice about this music thing. Well, you mix it with art. I agree with you. Music is only one kind of expression, like your buddy Martin, right?
Yes.
And he's a painter, like my buddy Raymond Pettibone, but there's sculptors, there's writers, all this expression. What kind of advice would you give somebody, a young person, trying to delve into this world of expression?
Yeah, I would say try to hear to yourself, you know, listen to your, oh no, hear, listen. Listen to yourself. And for me, when I listen to anything or watch something or read something, it's always important for me that I trust it. If I trust it somehow, I feel it's not just like pretending something or I want to be like something, you know what I mean? Of course, each person had some influence on the very beginning. It's fine, you know, it's no problem with that, but during your experience, you should listen mostly to yourself, to your own feelings and your own emotion, and don't lie. Just that's my message. Don't lie, you know, because lying in art, it will be discovered sooner or later.
Yeah.
But it will be discovered. The feelings are, if they are really true, if it's really true, you just feel some kind of goosebumps, you know,
sure.
and no matter actually what kind of music is it. If you, sure. For example, you like me, I like punk, I like avant-garde music.
Yeah.
But if I hear whatever jazz song, for example, yeah. or I don't know, whatever kind of music, and it makes me these goosebumps.
Yeah.
Then I trust it and I respect it, and I don't care if it's whatever kind of music, you know. I'm not very like this only one kind, you know. So, and the same thing is about the whole art actually.
Yeah.
If I have to, I give you one example. There is a Czech painter, Eva Kmentová.
Mm-hmm.
She's from 60s, and. She was also kind of on illegal base, but I was on exhibition of her, and there was a wooden board, and on the wooden board was sticked a white paper, and only by pencil, you know, just line was some girl's body, naked body,
yeah.
Drawing. But only very simple, just line, you know, like this breast, you know, whatever. And on one breast, there was kind of like a missing, the material of paper was like something like
hair?
Yeah, like if cat is going into it, you know, with its lap, you know.
Okay.
And then I watched closely to it, and there was even the wood under the paper was kind of grabbed out. I don't know, not
pulled
grabbed,
out.
But pulled out.
Like a claw. Yeah, catch,
it was
claw,
like
claw,
yeah, yeah, but it was obviously made by a human's finger. So it must be fucking broken nail or
yeah.
something. It was just touch. It was, you know, even now I'm talking about that. I have this
yeah.
goosebumps because that moment was for me, you know. It does whatever was written, the drawing, you know, if it's girl or whatever, but that try of artist
yeah.
to go inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Inside. Yeah. Even this wood, you know, your finger cannot do it, but you try.
Try
you
anyway.
Just try, goes inside the picture, you know, like behind the face, you know, behind everything, inside
sure, sure.
the soul, to just touch, to do something impossible.
Sure.
And that's, for me, this is a role of artist, to do impossible, or, I don't know, to try. You know,
I think that's
yeah,
great advice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh. righteous. And then good luck with the new batch. Does it have a title?
It has. I always forget the English word for that. It's those pieces of ice going on the surface. I don't know how not icebergs, but a small like flat
flow.
So let's call it flows. That's the title of the new album, and it's basically the idea is about that the flow is on the very beginning. It's a part of some big mass of whatever ice or something, and in one moment, let's call that moment like not being yet, but latent being, you know, part of something big, and then in one moment, for some reason, it breaks. You know, that sound, I even hear it like, and from that moment you exist as a flow.
Wow.
And then you go slowly, very slowly, you know, somewhere.
You're on a journey.
You can't really put your hands into that direction. No. It's just where the water is going, or streams, or whatever, all around the other flows as well, you know, bump you, or
right.
You know, and each that bump makes you a little smaller, or even the water from inside, from bottom,
underneath,
kind of melts you, you know, and so you slowly go into being water, and then you disappear, and then maybe you could be like a small little wave, a little colder water on in the middle of a little warmer water, but on the very end, not even that, and just disappear, you know. And that's like a frame for kind of thoughts, and that's my idea to work on that somehow.
Beautiful. The best of luck with it. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks very much, and greetings to San Pedro.
People, May 19th, 2015 edition of Watch for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.